Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. Typically, we look for anything other than an identity in Christ. We look for other markers. You know, we're, again, obsessed with finding oneself. And so when we think about identity, we focus on personal experiences that made me who I am. My upbringing made me who I am. Education and personal choices made me who I am today. You know, where I grew up, where or who we grew up around, you know, the personal educations, decisions, experience, all of this combined creates our identity. And yes, many of these are different facets in what made us who we are, what's created A.J. Layton to this day. The bad decisions, the good decisions, the education, the friends he was around that he was a bad influence to that then created their identities. You know, Ryan, I was waiting on an amen on that, but that's all right. But all of these things are aspects of make us who we are and do are reflected in our personalities. And the way that I talk is based on the fact that I grew up in Edenton, North Carolina, and I sound like an Edentonian. It is part of that identity. And the truth is, yes, our identities contain multiple roles, such as a mother, teacher, U.S. citizen. If you can't guess already, that's my wife's identity. But each of these roles holds a meaning, and they come with expectations that then are internalized into, this is who I am. This is my identity. And yes, these certainly help to make us who we are and what roles we take in this world. But often our problem, especially as believers, is we focus on these facets as the only influential factors in making us who we are. And when we internalize on just these things, try to find identity in just these things, then we don't consider what that calling, that election, that identity that we have in Christ truly means. It's based only on these external factors or these things that we've now internalized into who we are. And so when these are the only factors we consider, we are removing Christ as the determining factor of identity. And what happens is we are literally taking out the very one who created us, made us who we are, and has given us a calling and an election as believers that we now say, well, yes, you say that's my identity, but what about all the other things that made me who I am? The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. You know, that's who I am, Jesus. That's who I am, God. And God says, if that's the only factor you're basing identity on, then you're not basing your reality, your existence on me as your creator. And yes, the truth is we are often guilty of focusing too much on these external factors for our personal identity instead of looking at the author of life for true identity. You know, again, the questions of where are you from? These are the markers we look for when you meet somebody new. Hey, where are you from? Are you married? Do you have children? Where do you work? You know, these are the things that we look for to identify an individual, to set them apart. These are normal ways to categorize ourselves or categorize others, and they help us to grow in relationships with one another as we begin to say, we identify with similar things. We had similar upbringings. You know, we went to the same school. You know, we have a similar education. We have all these things that we can identify with. And these are good markers. So I don't want you to think that, man, I can't identify or relate to these things. They're good. But what happens is the trouble comes when we center our sense of self on one particular attribute of our identity and then define everything else by it. You know, think about it. What happens if we define ourselves by our jobs, but then that job is gone, we're fired, or we're asked to step down, or we're laid off because of COVID or because of the economy? Perhaps we center our lives on our marriages, our children, our friendships. What happens if the marriage faces difficulty or worse, divorce? The children are grown up. You're now empty nesters. Or your best friend has to move away for work or other issues. What happens when our identity is placed in these factors, in these facets, but then those things begin to crumble away? What happens when we place so much of our identity on these items and then they become challenged? We begin to take it very personally, and we lose a sense of self in the process, in that change. Whenever we deal with a change in our circumstances, change in our environments, change in relationships, we begin to lose who we truly are. And so that's why we should truly identify ourselves only in Christ, to find who we truly are. Because yes, the world around us change. Yes, relationships change. Friends move away. Children grow up. Jobs can change. But apart from all that, that's not where my identity lies. So I'm not losing self when all of these external factors around me change. I know who I am because I'm in Christ, regardless of what's taking place around me. In fact, Anderson, he says, our deepest sense of self must be found in God, not in categories, not in roles, not in successes or failures. And that's what is so important about understanding our identity. Because when we categorize ourselves by one or two things, relying our entire life and existence or purpose for existence on these two factors, and they begin to crumble, we blame God. We lose a sense of self because our identity is not rooted in the author of life himself. And so that's what Paul is getting into in his letter to Ephesians. And we'll be in the letter to this church throughout this series. And what we see is that Paul knew and understood that our identities have to be, as believers, found in Christ and Christ alone. So let's jump into Ephesians 1 right out of the gate in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to the faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us within the beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things in earth. So right out the gate, you don't want to start. Yeah, I'm not going to get too much into the authorship or why it was written, but we have to get a little bit of that to understand. And what we see, obviously, Paul as the writer, as he is the writer of many of these letters that we now have as New Testament. This letter is a little unique and different compared to many of his other letters. In fact, it's very similar to Romans in the fact that it wasn't written so much to address problems in a particular church. Yes, it was written to those in Ephesus, but rather, instead of like we see in to the letters to the Corinthians, you know, where it was, this is what's going on, this is what we need to deal with, this is what needs to be hammered out. This was written to explain some of the great themes and the doctrines within Christianity, that now this is your faith, this is what you cling to. Now this is the things that we don't veer from. This is the foundation. This is the main themes and doctrines of our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why in this first chapter, Paul is laying out a foundational truth of this faith that we have in Christ. First, he tells us really who we are. And then he tells us what we were meant for, speaking of as believers. And he tells us we are chosen. We are holy and blameless before him. We are adopted children of God. This is our identity as believers. This is, we are blessed and redeemed. We have a great inheritance and the gift of the Spirit. And all of this is made possible, as he reiterates time and time again, because we as believers are in Christ. In fact, if you see this entire passage in whole and you begin to pull apart these similar verses, we see that there's in Christ Jesus, in Him, and in the Beloved. In fact, it appears 9 times in these first 13 verses. And the reason being is there is a theme, there's a purpose behind what choice of words that Paul was laying out for us. And that is that Paul wants us to understand that our identity, the core of who we are, is found only in Christ. And again, that's why the world's understanding of finding identity in whatever I emotionally attach to or whatever I say I want to identify with, that's why it's so off kilter, is because they're not finding the core of their identity. They're not longing for the Creator. There's a sense of longing and something missing, but they're not finding it because they're not seeking after the author of life. They're denying their identity in the one who can save and trying to find it in any other sense of identity, any other sense of worth, any sense of longing and connection with something else, someone else, anything in this world. But because it's not Christ, they're never going to be satisfied, never fulfilled. They'll have to find something else to identify as or to identify with, because they are not finding what is the foundation, what is the core of who we are, what we are meant for in this world. And that is only, as Paul says, found in Christ. And so we have to ask, why is this important? You know, the reason being is really the centrality of Jesus to our identity begins at the beginning in Genesis, when God created human beings. God said, "Let us make men in our image, after our likeness." That is an important verse. One, it begins to show the triune nature, the Trinity, the reality that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were there in creation, making men, making us in His image. And because there is a sense of making us after His image, after His likeness, we have to understand we are innately valued and loved by God's design. But what happens is sin distorts that identity, distorts that relationship. It separates man from God. But thankfully, Jesus Christ came to bridge that gap, to give us a way, so that, as Paul says, to be seen as blameless and holy, that's only because of Jesus' righteousness, not of our own. We are then covered in the righteousness of Christ, and that is a beautiful blessing, that when I stand before God, He doesn't see the filth. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who died in my place for my filth, for the wrath that I deserve. And so it isn't really an understanding of this identity or this creation for ourselves that we begin to understand when we're freed from the bondage of our sin, that we then see the blessings of being found in Christ. That's when they begin to take root. And it's only through Jesus that we can experience the beauty and the goodness of the very things that Paul is writing about to the church in Ephesus. And it is only Jesus who makes these blessings possible. It's not blessings of life is going to be simple, life is going to be going your way, everything's going to be okay, but the blessings found in Christ of eternal salvation, things found in Christ such as peace that this world can't offer, joy and satisfaction that this world can't offer, because at the core, our identity is found in Christ alone. And so God's unfolding plan for us includes this sense of, or this gift of salvation. But it's also a sense of understanding there's a personal transformation. There is a diligence behind that. But there's also a confident relationship with the Father. And many times people get distorted with, if we're chosen, then everything's laid out, everything's good. All I have to do is sit back, be idle. But many times, including Paul and Peter, they discuss being diligent in that faith, living out a sense of sacrifice that is showing our worship to God, that is living it out. And yes, there's an understanding of being chosen by God and a sense of being chosen even before we have done anything or have been anything for God. But what we have to understand is that this sense of choosing, this election, then comes with responsibility of living out for that God, that personal responsibility for personal holiness and faith, and often we fall short of these guidelines for God, because what we do is we look at God's sovereign choosing and diminish personal responsibility. But that completely alters God's design, God's sovereignty, God's plan for you and I. We say, well, if God is all sovereign, knows what I'm going to do, know I'm going to choose the wrong thing time and time again, we push our own personal responsibility to the side. And again, we're not finding our identity in Christ. We're just saying, well, I can't change a thing. Let's keep rolling, keep living. But again, we're taking personal responsibility out of the way, as if that doesn't play a factor in our lives. But what Paul is saying is, when we know our identity as beloved children of God, when we see that we are called, set apart by God, we first no longer bound by the past that we used to identify with. That was our identifying markers and characteristics. But now, because I'm found in Christ, and because I understand His sovereignty, His grace, His love, then I say, what is my personal responsibility? How am I to be diligent towards You, God? How am I supposed to now live in a way that lives up to this sovereign calling, that lives up to this identity that I have? It's easy to identify as Christian, but it's completely different when we identify solely in Christ as the one and only thing that makes us who we are, that all of our decisions then revolve around, whether it's relationships, whether it's jobs, whether it's raising children. Everything revolves around that core identity of who we are in Christ. And when we identify truly in Christ, not just in the sense of saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, truly identifying with Christ as Savior, as Lord, then there is a sense of understanding and surrendering to Him. And then again, living a life saying, I'm now responsible for that personal transformation, for that living of change, of slowly becoming more like Christ. So my identity actually aligns, my life aligns with the identity that I'm claiming to live, the foundation of my identity as a whole. And so with that, we've got to look at the other side. What would our identity be without Jesus? Well, look at the world for one case, but as so-called believers, we again easily put Christian on the census marker whenever anything wants demographic information on us. What is your religion? Oh, Christian. All right. But why are we so quick to do that but not really identify with Jesus? You know, what would our lives look like? Because often we think we're masters of our identity, right? Again, look at the world around us. But without Jesus, we see that our sorrows, our insecurities, our struggles, and our failures, they are the things that begin to define us. We define it by, oh, good career, good jobs, decent family life, and lots of cars and a nice house. But then if we're going to identify with those, we also have to say, well, there's also with that anger issues. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's addiction. There's all these things that I'm now identifying with that so-called make me who I am, but that's not truly who God has called me to be. That is not where my identity should lie. So for you and I to be an image bearer, to find our identity in Christ, we must first, again, submit to His authority. When our identity is rooted in Christ and His sufficient grace, the salvation, the love, the purpose, we don't have to then worry about losing ourselves in the day-to-day living, losing ourselves to the sorrows, the insecurities, these things that so often identify the world, identify Christians who aren't rooted in Christ, they're easily putting down Christian as their identity, but not identifying with Christ in who they truly are. And so when we identify truly in Him, the day-to-day living is for Him, focused on Him. We're not defined and worrying about losing who we are in any external changes around us. And that's because we find who we really are when we find our identity in Christ. And if we want to get to an identity, it's truly really just defined as the collective aspect of the set of characteristics by which a thing or person is definitively recognizable or known. That's your Webster's Dictionary. So now, as believers with that understanding, our new identity in Christ should be recognizable, shouldn't it? Both to ourselves and to others. Really, we have to ask, if I am in Christ, is that truly evident? Do people see that without me having to make a mark in a demographic separation? Do I have to claim that I'm a Christian everywhere, or is it evident? If we are in Christ, that change, that transformation is evident. That is your identity in Christ, and it will be known, it will be seen just as well as if you identify with the world, if you identify with a sports team. People know it because you're obnoxiously telling everybody about your team. People know you're identifying with a certain people group. People understand that's who they identify with. The same should be true as Christians, but often that identity in Christ is not evident at all. It looks no different than the world around them. And so we have to ask, is my life set on the identity of Christ, or am I just playing a game, fooling myself and pretending as if I'm fooling God? Again, we're good at setting aside an identity and saying, well, I claimed it, I name and claim it, and therefore that's now my identity. When no, true identity, setting that in Christ, is going to be evident, and you don't have to tell anybody. It will be known. People will be telling you there's something different, there's something new. You have a new sense of identity about you that is unique, and I want to know what that is. It will be evident, because at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is to receive a new identity, a new life in Christ. That is now our life, which is found in Him, not in just a guarantee of heaven, as most time we say, well, I'll accept Christ because now that's my golden ticket to heaven. We say, oh, and also benefit the down payment of His Holy Spirit now in this world that lives in us. That's another good benefit. Oh, we think of the joy that I'm going to have, you know, the understanding of His love. We focus on these other factors as benefits, and they are wonderful benefits. But we first and wholly focus on the reality that Christ is now my life. My identity is in Him, and my life changes because of that. And with that change, with that Holy Spirit work in our lives, our understanding, our strength, our peace, our joy in the midst of all the sorrows and anxieties that we used to identify with now are not the things that make us who we are, but rather we're found only in Christ. Do we still struggle with those issues? Of course. But as we begin to follow Christ and understand Him more, that identity begins to help us understand that those are not the things that make us who we are. They're things we have to deal with. There's things that we have to struggle with. But it isn't that the thing that makes me who I truly am, because I am in Christ. I am a new creation, as Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians. It is in our new identity in Christ that we're no longer slaves to that old self that was our identity. We are now reconciled to God. The new identity is completely changing. It changes our relationship with God, changes our relationship with families, just as it changed the way that we see the world. The new identity in Christ means that we are His children. God has adopted us as sons and as daughters. We are able to call Him Abba, Father, and to be considered joint heirs. We are given an inheritance that we don't deserve, that we did not earn, but yet we are given that, and we are considered both heirs and friends of Christ. And I left a lot of the scripture references up there for you if you wanted to jot them down. And so instead of, you know, fearing God as this judge and then saying, well, I found my identity, but now all I see is Him as a judge, we now have the great privilege of coming to Him as our Father. We can approach Him with confidence and ask of Him what we need. We see that in Hebrews 4. We can ask for guidance, for wisdom. James 1 talks about that. And we know that nothing will take us away from Him and His love for us. Again, reference Romans 8, 38 and 39. And we rest in the knowledge of His authority and respond to Him with trusting obedience. And that's what allows us to see who we are in Christ, and then adds to that sense of responsibility that we have as believers. If I've been given this much, if I've been set apart, called a child, given an inheritance, given eternal security, then now what must I do to serve this God who has given me so much, that has allowed me to be considered a son, a daughter of God Almighty, of Jesus Christ? Because knowing who we are in Christ, it now allows the blessings of God in our lives to become a reality. The blessings that Paul was talking about. We then find peace of God, the security of eternity, and a hope of a future, and an assurance of his sovereign calling. And in understanding that calling, in understanding who God is, we begin to answer the questions of, who am I? And what defines me? What is my identity? These are the questions we ask, and many people struggle to answer. But that's because, again, too often people base their identities in what they do, from their jobs, from their roles, from their relationships, to decisions along the way, both good and bad, as the defining who they are, what their identity is, and what their purpose in this world is. But by doing so, they significantly limit their lives and they limit their true identity. As believers, we find the truth that is that God intends for us to find our identity in him. When we know Christ, we know who we are and who we are made for. And by understanding that, that is the answer to life's greatest existential question of, why, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? You know, who am I? Well, as believers, we say, I am a child of God. I am called. I am set apart. I am elected by God Almighty. I am considered holy and blameless because of his righteousness, you know, that is slowly working in and through my life, sanctifying me, making me right before God, creating a righteousness that I could not on my own. I am made new because of this God. I am now given a life that is focused on what truly matters, instead of worrying about the sorrows, instead of focusing on the anxieties, instead of focusing on all the other things that I thought made me who I am. I now see myself in the eyes of Christ. And by seeing myself through his story, understanding who God is, understanding scripture more, I begin to find my place in this world and find that God created me with a purpose and a plan in mind. And if that doesn't give you motivation to push forward, doesn't give you motivation to serve the God that made this possible, then there's nothing else I can say. Because the more we know Christ, the more we know who we are and what we are made to be or to become, when we understand that our identity is only in Christ and nothing else. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.